An absolutely awful thing happened to me this week. Tuesday evening, the rectory residents were slated to cook for our Alpha group. So we went to the grocery store, filled up the cart, went to the checkout line. The cashier looks at me with Father Michael and Carl in tow, and very innocently just asks, "Are these two your sons?" Now, I am not kidding. I just stared at her. I didn't know what to say. All I know is those two were having too much fun. You know, the last week and today, Father Michael and I are engaging in a little preaching series on the sacrament of marriage. Last weekend, we talked about how sacramental marriage has a calling of nothing less than for married couples, husbands and wives, together to be an icon, an image of the love that Jesus Christ has for His church. And now today, in this joyful celebration with Brooke and Stephen, we see how that love has grown so strong in their relationship as a husband and a wife that God has blessed them with this occasion of being able to give a name to that love, Stella Marie. She is a product of their love, of the grace of God working in their marriage. Their highest calling as a couple is to help one another on the path towards heaven. And now with the birth of their first child, that's extended to doing all they can for Grace Marie, Stella Marie, to do likewise. As we come together today, we celebrate the beauty of marriage, but we know that we live in a culture very much like in Jesus' time, where people of faith often have their feet in two worlds. They were trying to trip Jesus up, of course. You know, do we pay this census tax? Who do we listen to, Jesus? Do we listen to God? Do we listen to Caesar? And this wasn't the only time. They tried to trip him up on questions of divorce. They tried to trip him up on observances of the law. Anything that they could find. And Jesus really was a master teacher in the sense of just when he said, "Whose coin's on this?" In other words, he says, in many ways we do have to work in consort with our governments. But at the same time, we need to keep ourselves firmly rooted in what God calls us to. When one uses the term marriage in our culture today, it doesn't always mean the same thing that we hold to as Catholic Christians. We look at marriage not as a piece of paper, not as a contract between two parties. We see it as a covenant. Jesus elevated that relationship to a sacrament, one rooted in permanence. A sacrament being nothing less than an encounter with God, an encounter with Jesus. Stephen and Brooke, all married couples, are called to see and be the presence of Christ. Now, we well know that that's not always the case, is it? That sometimes people get married for many different reasons. I'd venture to say that if you were to go out and do a man on the street interview and start asking people what they believe about marriage or why they want to get married, it's not going to be often that you're going to come across someone who's going to say, "Because that's my vocation, because I want to live and become a sacrament of Christ's very presence to and for my spouse and eventually my children." Often you'll hear people speak of falling in love, the more romantic notions. probably the more cynical will speak of marriage as just being a piece of paper. And we live in a society now where marriages, as well as other things, can often be easily seen as disposable. When things get rough, sometimes we just think that they're not worth fighting for. We think the marriages need to be those storybook marriages where there's not necessarily going to be all these bumps. And you know, even the Holy Family themselves were not exempt from some pain within their experience of family life. Read the story of the finding of Jesus in the temple. Now, the scripture is scant on details, but think about it a moment. Can you imagine what it must have been like when Mary and Joseph are in that caravan ready to head home, and they finally realize that after a couple of days in, Jesus isn't with them? They had to be looking at each other. Well, I thought you had him, Mary. Well, Joseph, I thought you had him. And Mary could just come back and say, well, this is certainly your fault because I'm the one conceived without sin. Things don't always go rosy, do they? But healthy couples work at it. They fight for their marriages. Now, I'm speaking as a child of divorce. My parents separated when I was in fourth grade. Divorced a couple of years later. It's not an easy thing, but I would never say that there aren't times that that has to happen. But it shouldn't be the first thing that we think of. Marriages should be fought for. But then we have to ask ourselves, what if I'm in that situation? What if I'm alone now, divorced? Or what if I'm divorced and remarried? Where does that leave me? It's amazing the misconceptions that I come across. And those are the ones that I hear. I can only imagine the ones that are spoken when there's no priest in the room. Probably one fallacy I hear is, well, if you get divorced, you're excommunicated. True or false?
False.
Very good, since I already called it a fallacy. Absolutely, positively incorrect. In the eyes of the church, a divorce is only a separation. I'd argue that couples who are divorced need the sacraments that much more for healing, for restoration, to place their trust in God, the rock. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, I was excommunicated because I had divorced and was remarried outside the church. Excommunication is a rather strong word. I ask them occasionally, well, can you show me the letter from the bishop excommunicating you, or the pope? Now, while it's true that they're not encouraged to receive the sacraments until that's remedied, I'll tell you today, it's not a hopeless situation. And if you're not touched by this situation directly, I bet that there's not a person in this church today that doesn't have a family member, a friend, or a neighbor who has, and has their mind filled with so many ideas and misconceptions as to where their standing is with the church. Some will say, I'm not welcome. Some will say, I was excommunicated. Some will say, I just can't measure up. What does Pope Francis tell us? The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. If perfection was demanded for us to be here today, we should have all stayed home. Priest and people together, because none of us are perfect. That's why we're here. We're seeking the remedy. We're seeking the healing for those things that we can't do on our own power. Yes, Jesus said marriage was permanent. We believe as Catholics that marriage by their nature should be sacramental. And for a marriage to be sacramental, it should take place in the context of a church wedding in the presence of the priest or deacon as the official witness of the church. Sometimes marriages don't. Sometimes someone is divorced, they can't get married in the Catholic Church, and they get married in another venue or at a courthouse. Sometimes couples opt not to even consider a church wedding because of a venue or for whatever other reasons, and they marry outside the church. I have parents come to me and say, well, what do I do? My son, my daughter, they've got this wedding planned. It's not going to be a Catholic wedding. It's not going to be a sacramental marriage. Should I even go to this thing? By all means, you go to their wedding. Because if you don't, you say your love is conditional on them doing everything right. Is God's love for us conditional on us doing everything right? Absolutely not. God loves us even when we mess up in the most heinous of ways. How could we reach out to someone that we love and say, my love for you is conditional? Now, we may not agree, but agreement and love do not have to coexist. One can love without totally agreeing. And maybe the timing isn't right. You know, sometimes when marriages fail, people are divorced and they don't want to get an annulment because they have another misconception. If I get an annulment, our children will be illegitimate. It's too late for that. The toothpaste's already out of the tube. They're your kids. You can't disown them. For better or for worse, they're your kids. It has nothing to do with legitimacy. All an annulment says is that when that marriage is looked at, that there was some reason that that marriage did not exist as a sacrament. Maybe one or both parties didn't understand it that way. Maybe there were some preconditions that weren't quite obvious on the day of the wedding that had they been known, it might have taken both of them down a different path. The annulment, though, opens the door to return to the sacraments. You know, there's a million different things, and I'm not here today to give you a lecture on canon law, because I know that would certainly put you to sleep. But what I am to do here today to do is to let's start a dialogue. If you know someone, or if you're in a situation where you're divorced or you're married outside the church or divorced or remarried, whatever it might be, don't think that the doors of the church have been slammed shut on you or that person you've loved. This is an invitation not to impose anything, but to invite people to dialogue. This is all about accompaniment, recognizing that God accompanies us right where we are. One of the most beautiful images of Scripture is the story of Jesus meeting the two unnamed disciples on the road to Emmaus. We say they were on the road to Emmaus. They were also on the road away from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was where Christ had died, where their hopes had been dashed, where they thought that death had won. And as they're fleeing Jerusalem, for safety or for whatever other reason may have been going through their minds, they stumble across this guy on the road. They don't know who he is, but they knew that he was mesmerizing. He engaged them in a way that they didn't know. They said, "We're not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the road." An interesting thing. He didn't start out by saying, "Hey, I'm Jesus. You're going the wrong way." What did he do? He accompanied them. He walked with them, even though they were walking in the direct polar opposite directions they should have been that day. He walked with them. He accompanied them. And once they had come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread, what did he say? "Go back to Jerusalem and tell my brothers that I've been raised." After they had the encounter with Jesus, then they were open to receiving the message to go back to Jerusalem where the church was. The church that seemed beaten, bruised, and defeated. The disciples that were scattered by their denial, by their dejection. He told them, "Go back." And that's really the invitation that the church needs to be loud in proclaiming today. Is first inviting people to encounter Jesus Christ, to accompany them on the journey, and allow the Lord to draw them back. back to His heart, back to His people, back to His church. We live in two worlds, to be sure, today, my dear friends. The world of God and the world of Caesar. And we know that there are plenty of times that those two worlds don't intersect and that we feel pulled apart. But the love of Christ calls us to be reconcilers. The love of Christ calls us to be inviters. The love of Christ tells us that we are a people who do not have we have not lost our hope. And so today, as we struggle to live out our calling as disciples of Jesus Christ, let's know that we need to be the mouthpieces, the face of Jesus in our world, as we allow Him to enter in our hearts, but also as He allows to use us to reach those who may not be here this very day because they don't feel good enough, they don't feel worthy enough, they don't feel in agreement enough. You know, if we keep thinking that way, nothing will ever be enough. We just have to know that God takes us where we are. God takes that person you're thinking about right now, where they are, and gently accompanies them. Can we be the ones who can accompany each other, to call each other to holiness? I'll never forget Cardinal O'Brien when he was Archbishop of Baltimore. They did some commercials on the Sacrament of Reconciliation. He had a great phrase that's just echoed several years later in my mind. He said, God loves us so much, He loves us exactly where we are, but He loves us so much not to let us stay there. We're all growing. We're all moving. We're all journeying. We just need to do it together, to prop each other up and really become the people that God made us to be, wants us to be, and knows us to be. Amen.